Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Squeak. My name's Luke Crofts.
I'm James Hargreaves.
And we're delighted to be joined by a good friend, Dale LaFleur.
Hiya, kids. Hiya.
He's still as scary as always. You never know what's going to happen when you put a microphone in front of Dale. How you doing?
Well, pretty good, in fact. For a guy who's into his 70th year, I guess.
Really?
So. Yeah.
Wowza. These stairs will not be doing you any good then, will they?
Well, or some good, I don't know.
They catch us out every week, don't they, James?
It's the only exercise I get every week, so it's fine by me.
Yeah. You're a big man, but you're out of shape.
Yeah.
What film was that from? Michael Caine, that wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember the line. I can't remember the film.
Oh. Yeah, all right. I've never seen the film. I just remember the line. I think my dad once said it to somebody. So anyway,
speaking of exercise, it's been the Yorkshire Half Marathon today, hasn't it?
Yeah, caused havoc on the roads in Sheffield. Apparently,
yeah. I say yes to that. I get quite in it.
Well, I said to James, I went, Dale's coming from London Road, so he'll be bang in the middle of all the road closures. Did they not put anything through the door to let you know about it?
No, but I could have missed it. But my friend wanted to go to Waitrose, and I agreed to take her there, and that was the beginning of the end. It was just really tied up. If I'd have turned just before then, I would have been in good shape. Could have even parked there and gotten walked, but
What car have you got now?
It's a Vauxhall Corsa.
Ah, because what we used to do after our old show, me, Danny and John and Dale would go for something to eat, and we'd do like a food review.
Yeah.
All right. And one week Dale took us, and you'd got the old Micra.
Yeah.
It was an old K-Reg Micra, right? It was like you were really low to the ground, weren't you? And every time you turned a corner or touched something, it made a different noise.
Wow.
It was a really fun car.
Brilliant. Well, yeah. This one is actually, the new one is actually, should be called a Rolls Canardly, because it rolls down one hill, can hardly get up another.
Oh, well, it sounds fun anyway.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing today then, Dale? You've brought a bit of music for us, and...
I did.
A technological genius.
We found out how to plug in an electronic machine into this desk.
So we've been working from CDs since the beginning of November, and Dale's just come and plugged his laptop in, so...
Yeah.
Sorry, Staples, we'll not be buying any more CDs. So that's awesome. So we've got a bit of music from Dale LaFleur. Now you've been in Sheffield Live for a while, haven't you? But you were
quite a while.
Obviously,
yeah.
you're from the States. You used to have a radio show over there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did on KZYX, which is Mendocino County local radio, and Mendocino County is about 150 miles north of San Francisco, along the coast, and it's not very heavily populated because it's off the main road. You have to go about an hour towards the coast to get to it, and people just don't live there that much. So it's beautiful, beautiful coastline, and the biggest town is 7,000 people within an hour's drive, and so it's great. I thought I'd live there the rest of my life. But I ended up in Sheffield.
How, a bit of difference.
I'm going to say, how did you end up in Sheffield?
Oh, well, my then wife wanted to move back because her mother was losing it, and there was nobody to look after her. And
no. See?
So that's how it went.
And you stayed. A lot of people that come to Sheffield stay in Sheffield.
Yeah.
It's got the highest retention rate in the country for students, that come to study, and they stay.
I have heard that several times, and I've met a lot of students who... came to school here and then just stayed.
Well, one of our good friends, Faith, she came. She's from, to be fair, she's from Rochdale, so anywhere else would be better. probably, ruling out Warrington and places like that. So she came to uni of Sheffield and then stayed. So yeah, it's a great city.
Hmm.
It's interesting you mentioned that because we were last week or the week before, I can't remember. We were talking about a city in. Just outside of Las Vegas that was up for sale.
A city up for sale?
Not a city, like a town.
Yeah, a little township type place.
Yeah, and it had got like a casino, it had got a an airstrip, and they were selling something like a few million dollars anyway.
Yeah.
Like you could buy your own town. Keep saying city. You won't be able to buy a city.
Tell me the name so I can put my bid in.
Have you got $8 million lying around?
Oh, only seven. Damn. Oh,
if you had $8 million, he'd have an insignia instead of a Corsa, wouldn't he? Yeah. Okay, well, it's good to have you here, Dale. So you know the format of the show because you listened the other week.
Yeah.
One of the big things that's been in the news this week, the tax haven scandal.
Oh, yeah.
There's obviously been this leak of papers from one of the most secure sort of firms in the world.
Yeah.
And apparently the PM's dad has been siphoning money away in this offshore account.
Yeah.
What do you make of it?
It's an interesting... Nothing's been done illegally. It's
just
all,
the morals of it.
It's the moral argument. And when you have... It's come out all this about David Cameron having shares in it, then selling his shares in it and profiting, and then...
He's made about 20 grand from these shares that he sold on.
But when he's been doing that, and then he's then preaching to everybody about how bad it is... Like some of his quotes from a couple of years ago, like the Jimmy Carr thing,
I was going to say,
morally reprehensible and stuff. And he's been doing it himself.
Look in the mirror.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Carr did exactly that. I mean, he does 8 out of 10 cats, which is pretty much based around everything that's happened during the week.
Right.
And he was like, well, what's been in the news? Well, me. So, you know, it was massive and it was really bad, and it sort of tarnished his reputation a little bit.
Yeah.
He's put on Twitter, you know, I wouldn't comment on someone else's taxes because it's morally wrong and whatever else. So he's had his sort of indirect dig. Yeah. But, I mean, does it not... I mean, obviously the Labour Party have come out and said it questions his reputation and people lose trust in him. Does it make his position untenable?
Well, the Prime Minister in Iceland resigned.
He's resigned over there.
That's the difference. In Iceland, 10% of the population went and protested in the capital of Iceland. And... What have we got a few hundred people outside Downing Street yesterday. People are just so apathetic to stuff like this.
Well, it's like when you look at some of the things he's released his tax returns to try and diffuse the negative feeling around it all.
Yeah,
and it's emerged that when his father died, he left him £300,000, which is just under the inheritance tax threshold.
Of course,
and then his mother gifted him £200,000.
Yeah. So, again, it's not illegal. It's not illegal to do. It's just to get around.
I went on a conference with work, and one of the legal guys came and did a talk. Mm. Most boring talk you've ever heard. Obviously, it will be. But somebody said, "Is we're talking about something," and somebody said, "Is that not a loophole?" He went, "It's not a loophole. It's a permitted exemption."
Wow,
that's just a fancy name for a loophole. It looks like they've gone round. The inheritance tax threshold.
He's now in a position as Prime Minister where he cannot
criticise anybody
doing this, even in future now. He's done it in the past, and obviously people are bringing that up now. But in future, anybody can get away with it because the Prime Minister can't criticise it anymore.
Or he can go after those who are doing that sort of thing to stop it, because it's really not right.
No, it's people, the people that have the means to contribute to society through their taxes are the ones that are dodging it, and everybody else suffers as a result.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously, in 2013, the government cut the top rate of tax from 50p to 45p, so that will have benefited him as well.
He happened to be in that tax band, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, there's going to be coincidences here, but it's a nice convenient coincidence, isn't it?
People
can latch on to.
When you earn £142,500 a year, that's, you know, 5 pence off every pound is quite a difference.
There's also the argument of, is that enough for the person in charge of the whole country? That kind of salary, because you look at what, you know, any other business CEO gets, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds a year, and is 140 grand a year enough for running a country?
That's pretty low.
Yeah, the president earns quite a lot, doesn't he?
Oh, it's not that much. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's not an astounding amount. Oh, he's going to look it up on his phone immediately.
I didn't think it was that much.
It's a couple hundred thousand pounds equivalent, I would guess. But
let me have a quick look.
He's looking.
Oh, yeah, 400 grand. $400,000.
Dollars,
so it's probably about, what, 300,000 maybe?
No,
270,000?
Well, yeah, more like that. That's not
so it's double.
An amazing
But then again, America's a lot bigger.
So, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. But when you get the likes of Danny DeVito coming out and criticising you, then you know you've done something wrong, haven't you? Did you see that in the news?
Danny DeVito?
At some film premiere or something, yeah. Danny DeVito's been there criticising David Cameron.
Really?
Yeah, and saying that Jeremy Corbyn would be a better Prime Minister.
Well,
wow,
he's got a point.
Fair enough.
Well, Ray Ray's tweeted us in, as you can, at The Squeak. She put, the only reason anyone in the UK cares is because they are not clever, she went clever, enough to do it themselves. I'm not angry, I'm impressed.
Maybe they're not clever enough.
Cleaver.
Just lop off some taxes. And
well, yeah, some people will have that view. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It is clever.
It,
you know,
is
like
clever.
I say, it's not legal.
That's it. And there's people that you can pay a lot of money to do this for you and work like this Mossack Fonseca group that the leak of the papers has come from.
Ah, we don't know where the leaks come from, though, do we?
No, but I mean the business is centred around Mossack Fonseca.
But it's an interesting...
It's their job to do that.
It's an interesting... I mean, do you think the leak happened as it was discovered, or do you think they've waited until a specific time?
Well, look, the leak, it's interesting how this has happened, because it's like the WikiLeaks thing when that came out. There was two or three newspapers that got involved, and apparently this Mossack Fonseca leak happened about nearly a year ago, and the papers, because there's 11 million documents... The papers have sat on it and shared it around every other news agency.
That's right. Those guys in Germany got it, and they realized what a massive thing it was, and they couldn't handle it, so they started sending it out to others.
So the original WikiLeaks was Der Spiegel, The Guardian, and was it New York Times? And now this one, those three got the initial papers, realized they couldn't handle it, and so the BBC, The Times... The Icelandic paper, every kind of news agency has got involved and has secretly been looking through it for the last 9 months or so.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's interesting. And apparently we're just scratching the surface of it. There's lots more to come, apparently.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. You can guarantee that. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So let us know what you think. Tweet us in, at The Squeak. Please let us know. Thanks, Ray, for tweeting us in. Dale, we'll have one of your songs now.
Yeah, tonight I'm going to see... You're going to have to read the name of the lady in there, because I forgot who it was. Is it...
It's Roxanne De Bastien.
Roxanne De Bastien is going to be at the Greystones this evening, so I've got a press pass, so I'm going to go see her.
It's a great little venue.
But yeah, and she's a pretty good singer, and well, you're going to hear an example of it right now.
Excellent.
This is Wasteland, you're listening to The Squeak on 93.2 FM.
Thank you. the libraries. They've rewritten the books. Crown men as kings, when really they're crooks.
So that was, what was her first name? Roseanne?
Roxanne de Bastien.
Roxanne de Bastien, yeah. And she'll be at the Greystones tonight. And you've got just a little bit of Johnny Clegg and Jaluka in the beginning of the end.
Yeah, it was all going so well.
Luke played the wrong song.
We had technical difficulties.
Yeah, my bad. We introduced a laptop into it, and I just couldn't do it.
Oh, it was... I have to introduce these young guys into the technology of today.
I know, yeah. Dale's had to show us what to do.
Be a first Delta, yeah.
No, that was a nice song, though, on this lovely day in Sheffield. It's lovely today, isn't it?
It's outstanding.
It's been a bit of a funny week, though, for the weather. It's been a bit up and down. It was thundering and lightning on Wednesday. Yeah. It was in Hillsborough, anyway.
It was crazy.
There's a song that got queued up for a little later, which I've been listening to all week, which is a Sheffield classic of Screaming Maldini. And I just had to play it today, and I got forced by Ray as well. She told me we had to play it because it's called Summer Somewhere.
Oh, that's nice.
The theme of the song is there's always summer somewhere.
Yeah, trying to think where it will be. It will be in Australia now, probably. Oh, no,
that's spring. Or autumn. Yeah,
it's normally... Yeah, it's normally sort of
going into
January,
winter.
February, isn't it,
going
in Australia? Yeah. Mm.
But their winter is like our summer, I think.
Well, I came back in January, and I got off the plane in shorts and T-shirt, and then it was snowing in Heathrow. It was awful.
That's a big mistake to do.
Yes, I learnt the hard way. Yeah. But yeah.
So it's always great to sit. Like when you go going somewhere, you come back and you're waiting for, you know, your taxi or something from the airport, and you're sat in the arrivals bit, watching all the people that have been on holiday coming, stepping off the plane and through arrivals wearing just shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's you know that it's just going to end badly.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you watch the Grand National yesterday?
No.
Oh. Neither did I, Luke, so you're on your own, mate.
All right. Should we kibosh that one then? Did you not have a bet or anything?
No. Do you know what I was doing whilst the Grand National was on yesterday? I was watching The Return of the Pink Panther.
Ooh, it's a better choice, I'd say.
Have you seen the Pink Panther's to-do list?
No.
Oh, God, no.
To-do, to-do, to-do,
to-do, to-do, to-do, to-do, to-do. Yeah. Oh, man. High-class quality comedy.
Yeah. We found the level of the show now.
Yes. I think we found it a long time ago. I had four horses yesterday. None of them came anywhere, so I lost.
You bet on him? You actually bet on him?
I usually have a bet on Grand National.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm only like a couple of quid. Not going mad.
Yeah. One needn't.
Yeah. It's anybody's race though, and the winner was, I think he ended up being 50-1 or something.
33-1, I think.
Oh, is that how it finished? 50.
It was Michael O'Leary's horse, wasn't it?
And he'd make it quite a bit on a £2 bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. It was Rule the World. That's that won.
Oh, that should have told you right there.
Yeah, I know. they won the Irish National as well, and then they won the Grand National, so they won two of the really big races. Jeez. So it was a good victory for the horse.
Mm.
Yeah. But as I say, it's Michael O'Leary's horse, and part of me just doesn't want him to win anything, because have you ever been on a Ryanair flight?
Yes.
Yeah, it's his horse. Who owns it? Ryanair, yeah.
Missed a Ryanair flight because they locked me out.
Really? Why?
Really? There you go, you see.
You went drunk and disorderly again, were you, Dale?
No. they sent me an email saying I had to get the boarding pass, but I was away, and I got back like an hour before I was supposed to leave for the airport, and I just happened to check, and I said, oh, my God, it's too late. So I thought, well, I'll explain, and they'll, be nice about it. And I explained, and they weren't nice about it. And then in the end... When I said, okay, I had to pay an extra £72 or something just for this freaking boarding pass. And then by the time I finally agreed to do it, they said, oh, sorry, flight's locked out now. Cool. I will never, ever take Ryanair again, no matter what.
So you ended up losing on quite a lot of money then, I guess.
Yeah. Well, at least I didn't pay this £72 and then get locked out.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, every cloud. But yeah.
So what did you do in that situation? How did you get back?
I just came home. That was it.
So you didn't go.
So it was on your outbound flight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Oh right. So. We say if it was the other way around, you would have been stuck.
Imagine if it was your inbound flight coming back and you're just stuck there. You got no alternative but to find some money and find another flight, haven't you?
Ryanair. No. Similar thing happened to me with British Air. I got to the airport late because there was train delays. And I, went to the desk and said, I couldn't even speak, Then finally, when I got power of speech back, I said, oh, I was, I told her what happened. And she said, oh, that's okay. We'll put you on another flight. Problem solved, And sometimes it pays to pay a little more and get service.
Yeah, well, you do get what you pay for. Me and a few friends went on holiday to Fort Aventura, and we were flying Ryanair, and it's one of the funniest experiences I've ever had. There was me and our mate Dan, and Dan's a bit of a character. He's away, he's on another level, he's gone. And he was sat in the window, and the air pressure was slightly off, so you couldn't really hear what the cabin crew were saying. So he was trying to order a sandwich, and her English wasn't very good either. So he says, what hot meals have you got? And she's like, what? Like, hand to the ear and everything. It's like, what hot meals have you got? And I was sat in the middle, like, one eye from one to the other. And I knew I could have easily just translated, but I was laughing too much. And in the end, she ended up saying, oh, we've got Strongbow and Heineken.
Liquid lunch.
Oh, it was the funniest flight. And then I asked for a meatball panini. She went back, oh, we haven't got any. I said, okay, I'll have a cheese and onion. So she went back, oh, we haven't got any. I went, what have you got? She went, oh, we've got his ham. I went, I'll have one of them then. It was just everything about it was just sort of like Mickey Mouse, but it was funny.
I'm surprised she didn't say Strongbow and Heineken.
I think we needed it to get through the flight. But I know what you're saying, Dale. You pay for a level of service and you get what you pay for.
It turns out that way. Although I've flown like EasyJet and that, and it's been not a problem. Mm. So I just have a thing with Ryanair.
Well, that's what happens once you've had a bad experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet in from Scottarillo. Hello, yes. Scottarillo.
Hey, Scott.
He said, I backed a horse called Dad's Best Top. I was told it was a great jumper.
Oh, dear.
Me and Scottarillo are on the same same level, I think.
Scottarillo's found your level and he's beaten it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that because somebody once gave me some advice, said never buy a second-hand toaster because you'll get your fingers burned.
Oh,
oh, Jesus. Shall we have the first song from our repertoire, James?
Yeah, so a big shout out to Connor Houston, who sold out a Leadmill last night.
Yeah, nice one, mate.
Yeah, and this one's his latest single, Loose End Lovers.
It's the Squeak on 93.2 FM. I'm trying.
Don't you just hate a fade out in a song, Luke?
I quite like him. Connor Houston there.
He's great. I'm a bit gutted because I forgot all about the gig, so I didn't go.
Yeah, because originally, no, Ashes were going to be on, and Carlton Maloney postponed it, pushed it back because Connor was playing Leadmill.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, sold out. And I've seen the pictures. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
He's a great singer, and he should go far, that guy.
Yeah, he's influenced by Bowie, isn't he? We played Champagne Eyes.
That's right, yeah.
I remembered it.
Ooh.
I know, yeah, I'm quite impressed with myself. Yeah, and that was a really good track. So, unfortunately, I couldn't go because it was my friend's divorce party last night. So,
nice.
Yeah, she's happy. That's
a thing nowadays?
Apparently. I think it was just an excuse to get together and celebrate the...
Were both parties there, or just...
no, only one party would celebrate anything. It was great, though. We were at the Queen's Ground, so it was just up the road from us. And
you did karaoke.
I did karaoke.
As usual.
Yeah, love a sing song. Yeah. But you've been out in the wild today, Dale.
I have. Ecosol Woods, which is out Abbeydale Road and by Bee Chief. And it, my friend Kay wanted to show me a heronry, where they have their nests.
Oh, right, okay.
And
a spot of ornithology.
Yeah, and I thought, that sounds pretty good. I love herons. And so we're walking up to it, and we see a heron take off from the nest, which was great. And then we stare at the nest for a while, and we see somebody flapping their head around and their wings and whatnot, and...
You're okay.
Okay, now.
Sometimes if you make sudden movements, that microphone just goes.
I noticed that because I couldn't hear anything in here. But
well, the headphones aren't great either. So.
Oh, that's another point. Anyway, so we watched for a while, and pretty soon Kay's friend came walking along. And we said, hey, come on over. And so we watched the herons for a little while. That was quite impressive. There were about... a dozen nests up in the way in the top of the trees. And
they're quite big birds as well, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And they seem to want to nest at the ends of the branches, right. In these very thin branches. I don't quite know what their thing is when the storms come. But And then we went to see the Orange Creek. The water is actually clear, but from the area is orange from I think a mine or something, and so the whole thing, the bottom is orange, and it where it goes into the little river, it's kind of orange for a while as well. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to see.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I've just seen your braces.
Oh.
They're awesome.
Oh.
I remember you had some ruler braces.
Yeah, yeah.
They were pretty cool.
I've gotten quite a few since then, so.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. For the benefit of the radio, let's
say
that.
Yeah, because...
Because the people at home can't see the braces.
Yeah, they're rainbow coloured.
Rainbow, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You like getting outdoors, don't you, Dale? You do a lot of...
I do.
A lot of your work outside, don't you?
And yeah, I do. What I do is called New Games, which are cooperative group games, which are nothing to do with computers, but just to do with people doing, well, almost like, looks like children's games, but for all ages. And they do have some competition sometimes, but it doesn't matter who wins. It's just playing the game. And I, as of this last couple of days, I've figured out that I've got a tour in the States for June. Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Geneva, Illinois. And then I'm going to go to a New Games reunion in the San Francisco Bay Area at the end of June. So
awesome.
It's all happening.
So it's like you like team-building exercises type things?
That's one way to describe them, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of. I've done some really terrible team-building exercises with work, but yours sound really good. I wish. I might pitch it, actually. I might say drop Dale a line for the next one. Because that sounds good. You get out and about and you know.
Yeah.
Having fun, as opposed to running around Liverpool City Centre.
Some of those team building exercises are so cringy and convoluted.
The thing is, they after you do them, they say, "Well, why didn't you trust so and so?"
Because I don't like him. Yeah. You know,
we don't generally talk about the games afterwards. You know, we just do them for fun. If you do it in a workshop where you're working on problems within a company, we might talk about things, but not like what did you do, but you know, how are these things like your regular work thing, and we get into it that way, but in a general way, and that's what we do.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah
you do a lot of like new and interesting things. I remember you used to practice laughing yoga.
I was a course leader in that, for a while.
Yeah, I remember that. That sounded really interesting to me as well.
It is good. I think it's good stuff, but it's in the end I thought, New Games is really my thing.
And
I want to stay with that. And plus, laughter yoga wasn't exactly something that would make you rich. But then again, neither is New Games, but at least it pays. So I stuck with that.
That sounds good.
But the laughing yoga thing kind of makes a little bit of sense, because anybody who listens to this show will know Dale from the advert that we play for his show. Which is known as That Advert.
Do you know?
I have a couple of them, actually.
when we used to do Communities Live.
Yep. You made one.
I'd met you through Kevin Resley.
Right,
and then I said, "Oh, we'll have to have Dale on because he's like really eccentric, really funny guy." Yeah. And I think we hit you with a bit of a whirlwind because you came and sat there. I've got John Hemingham and Danny Pietnik. We've had Danny Pietnik on the show, so you know how crazy he is.
Yeah.
And we all just broke into. And Dale was sat there like, "Oh my god!"
And I'm home.
We did it perfectly though.
Yeah,
a cappella.
Yeah,
they did the backing. I did the the voiceover.
You were harmonising at that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You recorded one too that I can use it occasionally.
Oh yeah, we recorded it.
It's on the system.
Is it?
It is.
Well, I didn't know that.
We'll have to find that one out.
Yes. Is it?
Yeah.
I'll have a look for that while we play
the next track. Yeah.
What is the next track? Because I'm going to look for it.
Next track is the Silver Darlings. These guys are just signed to new Sheffield-based Ankle Breaker Records. And they sent this one through just like you can. And it's called Watermark.
You listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM.
She had a smile like yours, always half amused. So is it any wonder if I get confused? And from time to time I have to double take and sigh. When I realize my mistake, I hold this paper up to the light. See the watermark in between the sheets, yeah. She is the watermark. She had eyes like yours, soft and sad, focused, middle distance, on the bad luck she'd had. And from time to time, I blink and you're gone, and it's her face that I focus on. I hold this paper up to the light, see the watermark on the sheet, yeah. She is the watermark. Mm-hmm. when all the stars are shining bright, well, she blazed down on me like the sun. The shadow lingers long after she's gone. I hold this paper up to the light, see the watermark in between the sheets, yeah. She, I hold this paper up to the light, see the watermark in between the sheets, yeah. She is the watermark.
This is Sheffield Live.
So that's the Silver Darlings, and that one's out on the April the 25th. They're doing a gig at the Brothers Arms at Ely as well to launch that song.
The Brothers Arms?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Ely.
But obviously.
it's the place that the Everly Pregnant Brothers kind of all bought in and...
Ah.
They renamed it the Brothers Arms, I think. Oh. And then they did their gigs for Tramlines last year there.
Oh, right, okay. I like that track, that was good. Yeah. In the midst of all that, Dale's helped me find the jingle that me, John and Danny did 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's there on the first page, and I've just never realised what it was. The LJD at the end should have given it away for Luke,
you
John,
need, you need to play it now for everyone to
so
it's
know.
Short.
This was something that me and John and Danny did just off the cuff. Unplanned.
It's your version of that advert.
Yeah, that advert.
Here we go.
The Meg Chen Show. Now at a new time.
I've got it
Tuesday,
word for word.
5 to 6 p.m. Here, unusual music and comedy.
Now, that's quite special, if I do say so myself. And I remember...
At least.
Afterwards, you went, you got it right.
Why? Was he doing a Mr. T impression?
All right. My accents aren't the best. But yeah, so that was we had some fun back then, didn't we?
We did. That was a crazy show that we did.
Well, yeah, we had to... Communities Live is supposed to stick to a what's happening in Sheffield sort of thing, and we sort of tested the boundaries a little bit.
Well, but our show was the hour after
well,
that.
Well, we ended up doing an hour following on from Communities Live,
yeah,
so we could do all the daft stuff, and then we actually went back to basics with the Communities Live model,
yeah,
and doing what we should have been doing. So we sort of did half an hour serious, half an hour unserious, and then we did an hour serious and an hour daft. But Soundbites was good. Like I say, everybody would just bring a CD from somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me and Danny had put and Dale had put work into it. John had just bring whatever was in the glove box. And it was like some kind of 80s compilation.
I've seen John's record collection before, or his tasting records, and I can imagine what kind of 80s trash he brought with him.
80s trash, did you say?
Yeah.
See, I quite enjoyed it, though, even though he put no effort in it whatsoever.
Yeah.
He dropped me back off in Hillsborough, so I sort of let it fly. But John's just hilarious, isn't he?
He's quite a guy.
It was too quick even for me. He'd be saying stuff and it'd go straight off my head and I'd just carry on. My dad would be sitting at home, he'd be laughing and I'd just miss it all. One of them he came out with, he said, we must have done a story about something or other, and he went, well, three cheers for rap music, hip hop. And I just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, far too quick for me.
Well, we needed a straight man, let's face it.
Yeah, so I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. So, Dale,
Where
are you with singing talent shows like X Factor, The Voice, so on?
Well, I used to watch them. Whoops, my mic went again.
It's gone again.
Yeah. Hello. No, it's gone. Hello.
There we go.
There it is. I used to watch them, but lately I've kind of given up on it because I don't like the fact that they're doing cover versions of things rather than their own stuff. And well, you know,
yeah, it's just like so you find somebody with a good voice and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no originality there, really, is there?
No.
The Voice has just crowned its winner for this year. It's Kevin Sim. Now, he was in Liberty X after winning Pop Stars in 2001. So really, his career has sort of stemmed twice now from these talent shows. So this was sort of like a last-ditch thing for him. He's 35 years old, and he's won The Voice. So, but actually, we say that, and the winner's single is going to be an original one. I think he's written it himself. Maybe.
Yeah.
He's going to be launching a solo career based
on... I didn't read it, but I saw a story yesterday saying the winner's single was announced. So
yeah, it's all...
Did they all announce their individual ones before if they won or something?
obviously, because I've done my research, I didn't watch it, so I don't know. But his winner single is called All You Good Friends. But the lyrics sort of like reflect his experience, I think. So, you know, it's about proving naysayers wrong and yeah. you know, fighting the fight and all that. So, we'll have
is
to see.
Is it fair that he's won? Because he's already been on and done his thing. Why not give someone else the opportunity?
There has been some controversy because apparently, yeah. as part of the format, if somebody lets somebody go home, then another judge can steal them. And apparently that's what's happened, but it was all planned. Paloma sent him home, and then Ricky Wilson sort of said, oh, I'm going to steal him, but apparently that was all prearranged.
Right.
So it must have been earmarked for a final spot, at least. Whether or not he were going to win was up in the air, but he's won. So, But they're not refusing... the BBC are refusing to reveal the voting figures.
Are they?
Which is unusual.
Unbelievable, because it's not that important. I mean, come on.
I thought they had to nowadays, after all the phone-in scandals and stuff.
So they could fix it and nobody would ever
potentially.
Know.
Well, they said they're not going to do it, so...
BBC.
I know. But every single that is sold, 20 pence, will be donated to Comic Relief. So that's good.
Yeah.
You don't win as much, though, if you win The Voice.
Do you know what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to give 20 pence to Comic Relief so I don't have to buy it.
So you don't have to buy the single.
That's a good policy.
You don't win as much on The Voice, though. You only win 100 grand. And a record deal.
God.
Yeah. But the X Factor, you get £1 million record deal. So, slipped up there, Kev.
I'm not sure that the actual artist gets £1 million. I think it's the structure of the deal where, you know, with all the marketing and stuff,
they'll make the money out of that.
You probably get 20 pence and the rest goes to everybody else.
The artist gets
20 pence. Become a millionaire by winning the X Factor, put it that way.
No.
I think a lot of the contestants that didn't win have probably made more than the winners. Like, look at One Direction. They didn't win and they're massive, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's crazy big.
Amazing exposure. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, to have that, you know, television all over the country.
Well, that's why they're saying, is it fair? Because he's already been there and done it once.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, give someone else an opportunity. Yeah. He's had his opportunity. He's had his 15 minutes of fame. let somebody else have their 15 minutes of fame and then disappear.
Yeah.
quite set on your opinion then about these shows, James.
Yes. I used to, like Dale was saying earlier, it's doing cover versions, and that's the reason why, and I know it didn't last very long, but the Fame Academy on BBC in the early 2000s, it was good because it was based on talent. They had to write their own songs, they had to be able to play an instrument and then play live. It was a much better kind of format because it was more about the talent.
Yeah. Sounds great.
And then the show flopped after a bit, so who am I to say this?
Well, the BBC haven't got the money that ITV have to compete, really. And The Voice is going to be on ITV anyway from next year. All the coaches have said more or less we're not going to be doing it. So now
we're going to get non-stop, aren't we? We're going to have X Factor for 6 months, and we're going to get The Voice for 6 months. And then Britain's got talent in between.
I heard, though, that those shows, the ratings were going down, slipping. So they're not going to continue them if they keep doing that.
As long as we can only hope. As long as it's money in Simon Cowell's pocket, I don't think he's going to be bothered somehow.
What the heck is your T-shirt? What is that?
It's Doctor Who.
Two of the Doctors from Doctor Who in the pose from the guys from Pulp Fiction.
John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's
the Banksy image that he did.
Yeah.
But with Doctor Who instead of Samuel L. and Travolta. Speaking of Travolta, have you been watching O.J. Simpson Crime Story?
I have.
American Crime Story.
I watched the first episode and then sort of didn't follow it up, really.
Oh, it's been amazing. I love shows like this. It's just the look behind the scenes. Everybody knows what happened in a trial, don't they?
But
the look behind the scenes and the politics behind it all, and
how they twisted everything and made it come out in a certain way.
It's been amazing. I think that's finishing this week, I think.
I think so. It's close to the end anyway. Yeah.
Well, they're bringing out Making a Murderer Season 2, and they reckon there's going to be new evidence found that might acquit Stephen Avery. If you haven't seen the first series, don't bother. Just spoilt it.
But you haven't, though, because that's a good thing about Making a Murderer, is that you come to your own conclusion by watching it, and your own conclusion sways episode to episode.
It's very, very well done, I have to say.
It is a brilliant documentary. It's one of the best documentries I've seen.
Where is it at?
Have you seen Netflix?
It, no.
Oh, it's Netflix. It's a Netflix exclusive. It follows follows the Stephen Avery trial. He's wrongly sent to prison for murdering somebody, and then he's acquitted after a long time in prison.
Yeah.
And then he gets arrested again for another murder.
Oh, man.
And this sort of like the police that don't want to lose face, and then you're not sure whether he's done it. And
whether he's been fitted up. Or
it's fascinating.
It's amazing.
It's fascinating.
The Making of a Murderer, it's called?
Making a Murderer.
Making a Murderer. Yeah. Netflix, okay.
It's worth the Netflix subscription for a month just for that show.
Okay.
And they put it all in one batch, so you don't have to wait for the next one to come out in a week or whatever. So we watched quite a lot of them. You do get hooked really easily.
Well, it's one of those shows where you end up putting it on, and then you just one more. But by the time you finish, it's 4 in the morning, and you're like, I really need to sleep, but I need to know what's happening next.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that kind of occurred with, what was that series, Bad?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad,
that was another brilliant one.
My friend, who I go to for massage, lent me the whole 6 series, and I have to know what happens next.
I found that really hard to get into. The first 2 series were just so slow and boring for me. It took me 2 or 3 goes to get into it, but then after that, it was awesome.
I was exactly the same as you, James. Exactly the same.
I thought it was well acted, really well acted.
Yeah, it was.
Aaron Paul was great.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have another track, and then we are coming on to The Living Wage. Who is this first, James?
This is Screaming Maldini, because it's always summer somewhere, Luke.
Marvellous. Get in touch via Twitter. We're talking Living Wage after this. Screaming Maldini.
Yeah.
So, incredibly missed band them. They split up just a couple of years ago, and that was one of the last singles. And it's been, as I was just saying off air, it builds and builds, and it's one of those that's stuck in my head for the last week or so.
Yeah, and you did warn me about the gap, so thanks for that. Yeah, didn't have to panic this time.
You didn't mind panic the that gap. The song was finishing.
Mind the gap.
Although I did panic, even though I know about it. It's quite a long break, isn't it? Anyway, yeah, I mentioned before we're going to talk about living wage. Now, the National Living Wage is coming into force, and what's happening is companies are deciding to cut perks and certain pay structures so they can afford to pay employees the going rate now. Cafe Nero, for example, have decided to cut the free lunch perk. So now they're saying you can't have a free lunch
for the staff
anymore. For the staff, yeah, sorry. Not just for anybody. Should have made that clear.
I'd be there every lunchtime if it was free lunch.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Do you think this is... do you think it's right? Do you think it's expected?
It winds me up because I don't know what Cafe Nero's profits were last year, but I'm sure that they can plug the gap and still give the staff the perks. Because it, by the very fact it's a living wage, they're paying the minimum wage that they can to these people.
That's it.
So, you know, that perk is just a little bonus for being there.
Well, from this month, it goes up to £7.20 an hour, which is not very much still, is it, really?
No, it's not. And they want to build loyalty so that the staff stay around and they're happy working there. Mm. I think that they could plug the gap themselves, but that's just my opinion.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I know a friend of mine last night was saying that the firm that her brother works for, they're now scrapping premium for working overnight. So the premium that they would have got is now been taken away because they've had to give everyone a pay rise. Yeah. So it's sort of giving them a pay rise but taking away sort of other stuff so they can...
Yeah, so they're working overnight, those unsocial hours.
And not getting any more.
No, it winds me up. Mm. Really winds me up. I think the best companies in the world are the ones that people want to work for.
Well, the company that I work for has a sort of mentality that if you're happy, you're more likely to succeed.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
A model that a lot of companies use is, once you've succeeded, you'll be happy. Well, yeah. we work the other way around. You've got to be happy first, otherwise you're not going to be motivated.
Exactly. And I think Richard Branson has that kind of mentality, and he tries to preach that to everybody when he does his talks.
Look after your employees, and your employees will look after your clients.
Well, the studies they've done show that people do respond better if they're treated well, and they make better business. You know, they do better business for the firm, so...
Yeah. Well, if you take Sheffield-based One Disco just down the road from here, they introduced unlimited holidays a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Virgin have done that as well, haven't they?
Yeah, and people were like, what, you can't do that? People will just take the mickey. And they've found that people are actually taking less holidays but being happier in work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Time to squeeze the last one in for Record Store Day, which happens next week. Who is it, James?
This is the Incredible Magpie Band, who are headlining at the Washington for the LP Record Store Day gig.
Of life, 'cause you're ours. Oh, what we want.
incredible magpie band, that Straight Lines, they'll be playing the Washington next Saturday for Record Store Day.
Biggest day of the year.
Yeah, for record shops, definitely. And there's also Promenade Cinema, Misnomer and Dirty Flowers on that bill, so it's well worth going down to Washington for a free entry gig.
Absolutely. Dale, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you again, definitely, when we've got a bit more time to talk to you in depth.
Yeah.
Time for DJ Ski now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.